Yes. Okay. I hope all of you did well on the exam, and I hope it was not too surprising questions for you, that it was roughly as expected. I have not seen any really angry emails about people wanting to kill me yet, so hopefully it went okay. I will not publish the sample solutions for the exam until after next Tuesday, because there are a couple of students who were away today for valid reasons. So they are taking the midterm exam next Tuesday, and I will not publish sample solutions before they have also completed. Of course, they will get a different exam. It's just that it's sort of unfair if they get more questions and more answers to practice on than you had. So they will get the exam that you had to look at, but they will not get the solutions for that. I will publish both exams with solutions after they've completed their midterm. Okay, I wanted to bring your attention to this interesting picture first. So you know our situation, that if you can see and quickly summarize here, you see there are 81, this is 115, 147, 181, 208. So we are running 208 virtual machines in Sky-High now. And over-provisioning CPUs is not a problem. Over-provisioning memory is more of an interesting problem. So you see, we have 600 gigabytes of RAM, and the machines have been given access to 700 gigabytes. But there's quite a lot of page sharing going on, and Linux is a very smart operating system, which does a lot of work in the background, making sure that memory is used efficiently. So we are still fine, but you know, I think there's a hard limit on 2-to-1 over provisioning of memory, but I don't feel comfortable with if we use more than like 800-900 gigabytes of memory. So think about merging into groups and deleting your old servers as we go along. I will keep monitoring this and let you know when it's critical. We should be okay for this week and next week, but when we're moving to Windows, we're going to launch more machines, and then it might be a bit problematic. But we'll see. Just so you know the situation. I made some updates in Fronter. So the most important thing is that the exercises for this week and next week, which we will look at later, are now published. And then I will publish the last 2 weeks, where we do Windows and PowerShell desired state configuration. And then I will publish a description of the project. And especially for the project, you do the project by yourself, or you can join in groups of two or maximum three. And I will give you a list of possible topics, but the point being that you should do something. You should demonstrate and strengthen what you have learned so far. So Puppet and/or PowerShell desired state configuration, and then do something with that. And there's a whole bunch of with that things that you can do, promise me. Yeah. So, as I mentioned in the lecture on Friday, I published a video about CERN, which is interesting for those who want to watch that, but it's not mandatory. There by the parentheses. And I prefixed all the lectures I give are here with says HIG colon. Of course, in case you don't know, all the lectures we give are available. All recorded lectures are here at forelesning.hig.no. So if you want to see all recordings in different formats for this course, just choose me here, and you can choose to watch. I always link to the combined one, but you can choose to just watch the screen, so you don't have to see my face or listen to only my fantastic English in audio. And I haven't mentioned, thank you to everyone who gave me feedback on the Google form. I have read your input, and I agree with all the points, all the things you pointed out. You are a bit of a, what do you call it, guinea pigs, that this is a new version of the course. And I'm focusing on the exercises, and there are some missing pieces, and I try to compensate by giving these lectures, but I should have made more illustrations and diagrams explaining some of the scenarios we are working on. So I've tried to fix that today. And so this week we should look at the ELK stack. Next week we should look at Ezinga. And what we should do is basically, this summer I implemented ELK stack and Ezinga in Sky-High. So that's what I use for centralized logging and for monitoring in the Sky-High cloud. And then I did all the work with Puppet to get this correct. Or roughly correct, a very simple install of ELK stack and Ezinga. So, because I needed it for Sky-High and I needed it for teaching. The last week I have repeated this in the setup that we have, so I know that everything works. And your exercise is basically to take what I have done and implement it. Because again, there are so many details here that I think that will be enough work for you. Even though it's basically just copy and paste and fixing things, I think this will be enough work for you to do. So that's these exercises that we have here, which I've already opened here. So I'm calling this big data, because we have to start using those hyped words that we read about in computer world. Because when you're doing centralized logging, you are doing big data before you know it. That's why I also want to warn you that please don't try to beef this up and log everything you can and write everything to centralized logging. Because when I installed this in Sky-High, I saw that within a few hours I had more than a million log entries, and it started struggling as I reached a billion log entries. Right now it's not actually working. But I, just so you know, I was sort of wanting to demonstrate and show you in Sky High how this works, but it actually isn't working. And just so you know, I made, I know that what I have to do something with the heap size. I have to look at a part called curator to expire old logs. And I think my problem is might be that Linux has a hard limit on the number of open files that a process can have. And this is also a problem for the ELK stack when you have a lot of data. So I have been, I spent a train ride to Trondheim reading about the Elasticsearch guide to find out how I should troubleshoot. And Elasticsearch is very good by default, but in my situations with all the data points I'm logging in Sky High, there I have to do some tuning, and I haven't done this yet, so it's not working. But don't worry, that doesn't matter to us. Just before we start, remember that what you do now, roughly, so let me log into Sky High and let's see, I'm on my manager now. So when you do something now, on my laptop, notice I'm on my laptop, I typically do something in the profile. That's where I do most of my work. I do things in my profile module. So, for instance, if I, in my base Linux, base Linux class, here I add a comment. Whoops! What did I forget to do now? Which branch am I on? If you make this mistake, oof, I was on the testing branch. Okay. Well, it's really not that dangerous, but the common workflow, I make changes in the testing branch, I commit and push the testing branch, check if that's okay, then I merge into master. But if you see my command line history, you will see quite a bunch of merges from master into testing, because I make this mistake all the time. And so I can see now I have made a change. So if I do git status, you see that I have made a change to base Linux. And I want to, so puppet parser validate base linux.pp. Yes, it's okay. So I can deploy this into my testing environment. Then I will commit this added initial comment, commit it, and then I push this to Bitbucket, push it to the origin and the testing branch, like this. And usually when I make changes that I know are fine, so you know, it's okay that you do some shortcuts. You know the process, you know that if this was an important situation, then you would deploy it to testing, test it carefully, etc., and do more steps before you move into production. So, but now, if I say that this is okay, then I, you know, I can do a git diff between testing and master. So you see that the difference between my two branches now are, difference is this comment, this line, and the blank one above. these two lines are the difference between the master and the testing branch. So I do a git checkout master, and then I merge changes from testing, and then I push origin master. Now both my branches are identical. I push them to Bitbucket, and I go to manager, and I deploy everything in both my environments, and then I'll just wait for Puppet to run, or I go to a host and run Puppet agent. Yep, so that's the basic workflow. The important thing is that you do not do changes on manager. You can do that for testing purposes if you want to, but you code on your laptop, push to Bitbucket, and then R10K downloads from Bitbucket, and Puppet runs. So R10K downloads from a Git repository and create Puppet environments based on the branches of your Git repository. And if you haven't watched the video I recorded on Friday, I try to explain this very careful in detail in that video. Okay, so make sure you do this week and next week, and you should be very comfortable with this workflow. Okay, so the Elk Stack. What are we going to achieve? So if you accomplish this week's lab, you should be able to do the following. When you access SkyHi through Foxy Proxy or through the proxy, you should be able to do the following. By the way, I need my password now, which is I don't mind if I show you this password, because this is just testing. It's in... Of course, any site-specific things, any keys, any password, service password, these things, we never put that in our Puppet code. We put that in Hiera, which of course all of you answered on the exam. So, you see here, I have my password for accessing. So, if you get this to work today or this week, you should be able to access the floating IP of your monitor host. Yeah. So, see that my monitor has floating IP, this 2.75 port, so I say colon port 8081. If I access this with data as the username, I have that's hard coded in my Puppet. Feel free to change that to something else. There's nothing magical about the data username. And the password, which was in Hiera, I log in. And then I am in Kibana, which gathers the syslog from all my hosts in one location. And Kibana basically works... I'm no expert in using Kibana. To be honest, I really don't know how to use Kibana. But if you watch the videos in Fronter, you know will know how to use it. So, but I know the basics. So if I want to see log events from the last 15 minutes, I can do that here. If I want to see everything that has been logged today, I can hit today. And you see here that I have 4,520 log entries from today in stored in Elasticsearch, and then I access them by Kibana. And Kibana has support to generate all kinds of fancy interfaces so that you can quickly look what's going on in your infrastructure. So, and ElkStack is very widely used in security context especially. And I can do things, this is the number of log entries, so apparently something is happening here. Then I can narrow this down to this interval. Okay, what's going on here? And I can view more detailed these 15 events. What's happening here? And you can hit here to see what these exacts are. So this is logged. It originates from the host manager. So I'm viewing this on monitor, but this was sent from manager, from the syslog on manager, and has all the contents in here. Yes. So Kibana is, then you can create all these kinds of visualizations and stuff. So this is really nice. Okay. So how does this work? And as you told me in the feedback, I should be better at drawing, showing you architecture and how things work. So at least I've been able to Google to find something that looks a little bit like what we're doing. So when you're going to use Puppet to deploy the ElkStack, so the ElkStack consists of a log-forwarder running on all the hosts. So this is an agent which is going to read syslog and send syslog, all syslog entries, send them to the logging server. And the one that will receive it is Logstash. Logstash will then filter data and put it in Elasticsearch, and then Kibana will contact Elasticsearch for retrieving data and visualizing it so that we can observe it. So Elk is of course Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. And then in addition, you typically have Logstash forwarder running as the agent that sends this. But this is made into components because they can be used separately as well. Elasticsearch is a really nice database for storing large amounts of data, and by itself is used in many, many contexts, used for big data and for storing entire documents. And you can very easily, you can scale this up. You can have Elasticsearch running distributed on many nodes. But for simplicity, we will put this on one host. Okay, but just so you know that I don't only Google illustrations. I tried to make this really nice diagram. So let's see if this works. If I do something like this. So you see, there's a whole bunch of Logstash forwarders, or Logstash forwarder run on all the hosts, and this will send data to the monitor host. So you see, this is the entire monitor host running Logstash, Elasticsearch, Kibana, and also Nginx. But let's focus in on this. Let's do this for a moment. Was that better? Okay, I can take a picture and this make it better. But anyway, you will see that Logstash is listening on port 5000. Logstash will then contact Elasticsearch on localhost port 9300 or 9301, I think. This is configurable, of course. And then Kibana also talks to Logstash on this same port. But notice that they talk to Elasticsearch over to localhost interface on these ports. Kibana is a web application listening on localhost port 5601. And then we use a web server, in our case, Nginx, which we use as a reverse proxy, so that we can set up this with a username and password for accessing it, and this will only forward to Kibana. So we can use the Nginx for SSL communication and username, password, authentication as just an access gateway to Kibana. So we don't have to open up Kibana for the rest of the world. So that's our architecture, and of course then you sit with your web browser, or we sit with our web browser, and access the floating IP on port 8081, like this. So, I will scan this and publish it in Fronter, because I made this now 10 minutes ago. But then you know this is the architecture. And it's a little bit the same thing with Isinga. You know, both Elk and Isinga is a rather big distributed system that you're going to install. In our case, we're going to install on all our Linux-based hosts. But as long as you have the Puppet configuration, then you can easily install this on 10 or 1,000 hosts. It really doesn't matter. Yeah. And as always, there's plenty of work that I would like to have completed before we did this exercise, and that's basically that I wanted to do this implement this on Windows as well, because that's the advantage, that it's quite easy to forward Windows logs for ELK Stack, and it's quite easy to run the Isinga clients on Windows as well. But unfortunately, I'm sorry, I just haven't had time to do that, but I'd be very happy if some of you do that and send me the solution, so I can publish it for you for the rest of the class. Okay, so to set up ELK Stack, you need to set up some keys first. You need the keys for Logstash, and you need keys for Nginx. Getting Logstash to accept the right public-private key pair can be a little bit tricky. I wasted a lot of time on this summer, because it really isn't that hard, but it's a little bit tricky. So I just this was the easiest way of doing it. So there is someone who have made a small program to generate these keys with the right information in a format that Logstash will accept. So download this little program. This is a Go program. Go, the famous Google programming language. So you need to install Golang for compiling it. You compile it with Go build, and you run it like this. And then you just have to answer with the name and IP address of monitor.borg.trek. And this will generate two keys called selfsigned.key, which is the private key, and selfsigned.crt, which is the public key. So rename these keys to logstash.key and logstash.crt. And since this will be several files, I suggest that you do this in a separate directory of your profile module. So see that in my profile module manifests, we used to have only base Linux and base Windows here. Now I created a directory monitoring, and this is where you should create the rest of your code now. Remember that these classes will now be called profile for the module, monitoring since it's in the monitoring directory in the manifests, and then Isinga server because this file is named isingaserver.pp. So remember this relationship, the module name and then the name of the directory in manifests if you use a directory there. We don't do that for base Linux. And then the name of the file, and there you should find a class named this. So then you need to store these keys. You need to create these files on the server, and you will have to do that again later as well. And I think a good pattern for this is that the private key you of course do not put in the module. Maybe not the since these profile modules are specific for us, it doesn't matter if you put the public key in there, but the private key we should clearly separate and keep in Hiera. And also if this was an important environment, you should also carefully think about whether you want to put passwords and private keys in Hiera and push this to Bitbucket. Probably not. If it's critical, then you know you keep this locally and then instead either have your own GitLab setup or just synchronize it locally with a local backup or something. So you need to store these keys. Here is how I recommend that you put a key in Hiera. Notice when you put in Hiera that YAML is based on indentation. So if you want to put an entire key in Hiera, you can do it like this. The name of the variable, and then you use a bar to say that the contents is on the following lines. Then you can just copy and paste your key, but you have to indent. Each every line have to be exactly two spaces or one space or two or whatever you choose, but indented the same amount. And then creating a key pair for Nginx, for the web server, you can do that with this command. And you need to put more data in Hiera. This is the logstash configuration file, which you should so create a file logstash logsconf in the files directory of the profile module. So if you just have a static file that you want to copy, you can put that in the files directory of your module. And here is how you should implement this. You need to install all these modules, adding them to the Puppet file. Now we should create a role monitor. So if I now view my setup in Foreman, you will see that my monitor host has one Puppet class, which is role monitor. And this role monitor, this now in my role manifests, I have this file. Notice name of the module is role. In the manifest directory, there is a file called monitor. Thereby, the class in this file should be role colon colon monitor. So here I define the role monitor, and I say that this should have consist of these four profiles. So I choose to put all my sort of monitoring on one host. So I have both the Elk stack, I have separated the reverse proxy setup into a separate file, and I have Isinga server for next week also in here. So this see how one role, and then you add profiles to that role, so that in Foreman I have a very nice clean setup. Whenever I install a new host, I should give it one and only one role, and that's the only Puppet class that I assign to that host. Then you need to do some, so here you see it, try to figure out how you can forward Windows logs and send a proposed solution to Erik. So if you have time, you can do that. If not, this is one of those things we can do in the project instead. But it would be cool to set this up with forwarding all the Windows logs as well. It shouldn't be very hard, it's just I haven't had time to do it. So, and there are some other fixes you need to do, which I mentioned here. So everything you need to do is here. So this week is Elk, next week is Isinga. Is that the only thing you're going to learn? No. So I've designed this so that this week you should use several ways of controlling files in Puppet. So you have seen this already when you wrote the Gusin backup module. How do you control the configuration file of Gusin backup? There we use the ini file module for editing the file. So you can edit parts of the file with either native resource type like orgs. We haven't done that other than I mentioned it on the test exam, but there's a native resource type orgs which we can use for editing files, but it's a quite a strange beast, so not many people like that very much. So instead we used the Puppet Labs ini file for editing a file. And then some modules you will see contain their own functions, so that you can just say that this configuration file, I just create a hash of all the settings I want, and then I call a function, and this function will edit this file for me. Some create files based on concatting or putting together parts from other files into one. You will see that this happens now with Elk and Isinga. We don't see it, but for using them, you have to install the Puppet Labs concat file. That's a requirement for these modules, because they use it in the background without us knowing about it. But so if you can combine files into bigger files using these concat modules, but we don't do that a lot. If I just have like a public key that I want to copy to all the hosts, then I can just put that in my module, and I create a file resource declaration and says that the source should be this module, this file. That's the native way of, so Puppet type reference. So if I do a file resource declaration, you see that I can say source. So this file should exist, and the contents should come from this source. And then you can say source equals puppet colon slash 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 the modules, and then you say the name of the module. So in our case, this will be profile, and then the name of the file. And then this will automatically retrieve from the files directory of the module. And if you have a subdirectory, you just have to insert the name of the subdirectory as well, of course. So that's the source attribute. The other you can use here is the content. This is what we use if we put things in Hiera. So if I put my private key in Hiera, I can just say that this file should contain this file with the private key dot something. Content equals, and then the variable which is fetched from Hiera, and then you have your private key in a file. So as you do this exercise, reflect on this, all the different ways. So copying a static file, you can also create a file based on a template in your module, which you modify per host, and then copy it. And then you can edit a file that exists on the server from before. So there are at least these six different ways of processing files on servers. So what seems very intuitive and nice is to use just static files or templates. But how do you know that your code is the only code that's editing this file? What happens if you copy a file and then there's another Puppet module that also tries to make changes to that file? To that file, that can be a problem. So this is sort of the Puppet learning outcome for this week. Notice how different ways that you can process a file on a server. And then next week, when we go to Isinga, the big deal is exported resources and using PuppetDB so that all clients can export configuration to PuppetDB, and other clients can realize those exported configurations. So that's the big Puppet topic that you should learn through the Isinga exercise. While this week, the topic is how you treat files on the server, which we should learn by installing the Elk Stack. Any questions? And yes, I know, of course, I should make a proper drawing like this. But I am struggling a bit with my time. So at least I'm going to scan this and put it in Fronter now, so you have this overview. Okay, then see you in A255 in 15 minutes.